Hey everybody, this is Kim and you're listening to Career Homemaker Podcast, the show that provides inspiration and motivation for those seeking to enhance their homemaking skills and for people who desire more productive, creative, and fulfilling career as a homemaker. In this show, we are going to be discussing being a healthy homemaker and how important that is to our family and what we do in the home. So let's get started. Why staying healthy matters so much. The best time to work on your health is when you are healthy. It is much easier to stay healthy than try to get your health back. When a homemaker is healthy, she can do her job without pain or exhaustion. She can enjoy the little moments in her day. She can take joy in the relationships within and outside the home. When a homemaker loses her health, all of life is hard to manage. Doing normal household tasks become much harder. Her relationships are harder too. For this, I'd like to warn the younger homemakers that what she does health-wise matters. They matter for her and for her family and for her career. What does it take for a woman through the decades of her life to stay healthy? I believe it takes a woman who is willing to say no to the flesh and do things God's way. It takes a wise woman who knows that the world will tempt you with fleshly passions that will ruin your health. It wants to entrap you into buying cheap to make foods that will addict you. It will lure you into staring at screens endlessly so you will look at their advertising and hopefully buy what the advertisers are selling. The world is constantly trying to sell you what you do not need, to keep your eyes on what is not important. And sadly, many become fat, lazy, and sick because of it. Do you want to be healthy? Do you want the resolve to say no to all that is tempting you? Then keep listening. Our unhealthy living started in the garden. What do you think it would be like if there were no friends, advertisers, addictions, or even Satan himself to tempt you to eat or consume the wrong things? I think it would be a little like heaven. But don't you think it's interesting that the very first temptation and sin committed was with food? Food is that tempting, and Satan knows it. Then the first temptation of Jesus in the desert was food too. But think beyond that. What was being withheld from both? Yep, it was food. Let's take a look at each. The instruction of the Lord said in Genesis 2:16-17, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The temptation. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field, and that the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any fruit in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. That was Genesis 3:1-6. So let me summarize. So God told Adam there was a certain tree they were not to eat from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree in the garden was permissible. Then a serpent, which is a snake, tries to cast doubt on the stipulations given concerning the forbidden tree. And it worked. God said, do not eat it. But the woman adds that they could not touch it either. She is getting more confused. Then the serpent does more twisting of the truth, and she is hooked. All right, so the first thing she does is rationalize. She saw the tree was good for food. The fruit delighted her. The tree could make her wise. And then from there, things began to spiral out of control from this one bad food choice. Things have not changed much. There is so much misinformation in front of us concerning food. I honestly think Satan is still twisting the truth so we will doubt sound wisdom. False claims are attached to miracle foods and supplements and diet programs constantly. Just as get-rich schemes fail, so too do get-thin and healthy schemes. What is your weakness? What is your weakness that Satan tempts you with? What is your longing? Maybe you are not longing, you're bored or bummed or upset. I wonder if we could have changed the third chapter of Genesis to incur a different outcome. What if, after the serpent had caused the woman to doubt the instructions from the Lord, and that she said, see ya, to the serpent, and walked away, and then sought out God to ask him about what the serpent had said, and seek his wisdom concerning the tree? A conversation with the Creator would have changed everything. She would have heard truth and would have reaffirmed her stance concerning eating of the tree. She also would have realized that the serpent was a rascally little creature trying to do her harm. Now, let's look at how Jesus was tempted. Matthew 4:1-4 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let me summarize. So Jesus is sent into the desert to be tempted. He fasted 40 days and nights and was hungry. When Jesus is at his weakest, the tempter, Satan, or the devil, it said, cast doubt on who he was. Right before being let into the wilderness, Jesus was baptized, and Father God affirmed who Jesus was and said, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus knows who he is. Father God had said before the fast that Jesus was his beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. But you know, Satan, he's a cunning guy and he doesn't play fair. He gets us when we are at our weakest, just like he did with Jesus. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" What a good word for our cravings. We do not live by just food, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What a perfect rebuttal. He valued what God said more than a loaf of bread. Pit the why you are eating that chocolate or pint of ice cream to what God says about you. Stop listening to the lies Satan tells you or the doubts you have. When you go through temptation God's way by defeating Satan's lies with God's truth, you are blessed. You do not have to deal with the effects of sinful choices. No guilt or shame. Matthew 4:11 says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." Last night, I was tired and hungry. I succumbed to temptation. I went and got fast food. Then, because of how our town is laid out, I had to do a U-turn in a parking lot with Italian ice and gelato shop. My family was thrilled. But this morning, my tummy was not. This morning, I had a tummy ache. My body just cannot take that kind of abuse. Even though my family, I was highly praised that evening with my family. They were like, "Yay, we got good food and dessert too." But as we get older, our bodies just can't take it anymore. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus' reply to the tempter was taken from this scripture in Deuteronomy by Moses. At the top of the verse, Moses said that God humbled the Israelites. God let them hunger, ouch, and fed them with manna. God used the very basics of life, food, to help the Israelites transition from living in Egypt to their new land. Each land has their unique food they eat and serve. I come from the land of avocados, citrus, and strawberries. When I go down the country road, it is these three I see most. So this huge group of people went off their Egyptian food and then had manna, have another type of food in their new land, which I think were like really big grapes, if I remember right, from Joshua and Caleb. God uses food to talk to us. He created the fast, communion, sacrifices, feasts, etc. to convey a message. Food is extremely important. We rely on it for our very existence, and without it, we die. Staying healthy matters so much, and how we feel matters so much, physically, emotionally, and we know that food can drastically affect both of those. It can affect how we feel, and how we can even do our job. And how interesting that this is the thing that was the first temptation to man and the first temptation to Jesus. What does that say? Does that say that that's one of Satan's go-to for tempting us? Because he knows that food is so gosh darn tempting. And it's so easy to start eating the wrong stuff. So remember that this week. Homemakers, remember what you put in your mouth. Remember, think about it. When you're thinking about that Italian gelato, that ice cream, that chocolate, that hamburger, or whatever is the food that you know is such a stumbling block for you, take it to God. Say, God, I'm being tempted right now to have ice cream. I would really like to have ice cream. I mean, I deserve ice cream after this really long day. Think about that. Satan is a tricky guy. He will try and tempt you. He knows your goals. He knows that just a little sugar in your diet will get you addicted to sugar again. That's just the way it works. That's the way addiction works. So if you're trying to get off of this stuff, be vigilant. Be very prayerful. In fact, I'm going to pray for you now. Dear Jesus, we come before you with our eating. We need help. We need courage. We need faithfulness. We need wisdom. Please help us eat well. Help us eat the wonderful foods that you have created in their whole form. Help us to eat what you created our bodies to eat. And not go after all the stuff that's so darn addicting. Please help us get to eat healthy foods. Remind us what foods we like that's actually healthy. Help us this week, Lord. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Thanks for listening, and have a goal-oriented, creative, and fulfilling week. We will talk more about healthy living, being a healthy homemaker next week.